fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Welcome to another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. The scripture tells us so clearly in John's first letter, you have an anointing. Everyone who's baptized into Christ has the anointing of Jesus Christ, the same Lord who was raised from the dead, the same Lord who, after having been baptized in the River Jordan by John, he comes out of that river under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit to begin his mission. Commissioned and moved and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus goes to the desert. And he encounters the enemy. Jesus fasts and prays for 40 days and 40 nights. And while he's there, in the midst of that prayer and fasting, and his body's weakened, he's probably tired, the devil begins to circle the Lord. He begins to track him, and he confronts him, and he tempts him. He tempts him to turn away from his vocation, to doubt his identity, and to abandon his radical trust in the Lord. He tries to seduce him by offering him all the kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus stands against him. It says, you know, man does not live by bread alone. And speaking the truth, Jesus drives away the enemy. And right at the beginning of his ministry, the devil tries to get him to stumble, to turn away from his vocation. But Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus entered that spiritual conflict in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, when he was baptized in the Jordan, did the Holy Spirit hovered over him. He left the River Jordan, and the way Father Cantalamessa talks about what happened there, so we know that there's never a moment when Jesus was separated from the Holy Spirit. But there's a way in which the anointing he received, the commissioning he received from the Father began to be fully engaged as Jesus came forth from the River Jordan. He not only takes on the enemy, his enemy in the desert. Remember what the letter of 1 John says, that the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus comes out of the water in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus' entire ministry over the next 3 years, all the way through his passion, his death, and his resurrection, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. Jesus was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus at the right hand of the Father as he ascends to his glory. And Peter tells us in Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, the story of Pentecost, he proclaims to all the Jewish people that had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Representatives from all 12 tribes of the people of Israel were there when the Holy Spirit comes down upon the apostles and they come out of the upper room empowered. They've experienced now the very thing that Jesus had promised them. He told them to wait. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses. Despite the fact that they had spent 3 years with Jesus, and he personally taught them, formed them, discipled them, they still weren't ready. They weren't ready to be the first missionaries, the first Christian apostles to be sent forth, upon which the whole church would be built. They just didn't need knowledge. The knowledge Jesus gave, the experience, the teaching, the vision, it was all there, and that was all essential. But what they needed, more than anything, was the power of the risen Christ, the one who conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil. They needed the Spirit of Jesus, the same anointing that was on Jesus, to be given to them. And so Peter tells us, as he stood up, on the day of Pentecost, he described to everyone who was present what was happening to them. And at one point, and sort of in the climax of his preaching, he said that Jesus, who died, rose from the dead, began the new creation. He rose to the right hand of the Father. And when he rose to the right hand of the Father, Peter said, God gave over to him the promised Holy Spirit to pour out into the world, and the church is born. The church is a miracle. The church is just not an organization of men. It's born of the Spirit. starts. It flows from the person of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said after he'd left the Jordan. He went back to his hometown. He went to the synagogue. And he's attending services at the synagogue. And when it's time to read the Torah portion, he stands up. And the passage he reads is the passage from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus said, today this reading is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the one that Isaiah prophesied would come, the one who's fully anointed with the Holy Spirit. And here, Jesus makes it clear that everyone who follows him, the life of a disciple, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, is to have been born again by the Holy Spirit, to be made alive by the same Spirit that Jesus proclaimed was upon him. Because Jesus became one of us and died for our sins and rose from the dead, faithful and true to everything the Father called him to do, everything the Father called him to be, faithful to his calling, his identity, and his destiny. He rose from the dead, and the new humanity, the new creation, was born in him, that existence beyond death, the eternal future that he now offers to us began first in him. And he's the head of a new race of people, and Jesus brings to life human beings that were dead in sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are trapped by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus himself, in his flesh, the Son of Mary, conquered all of those forces, that whole regime of power that binds and enslaves the human race. And he rose completely free of all of it. No more oppression, nothing. Nothing had a hold on him. And he's beginning the new existence for the human race beyond death. Freed from all that binds us and enslaves us. It's the new creation. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus and with Jesus to bring about this redemption, this salvation, the recreation of the human race. And he opens up all of eternity. And now this becomes our horizon. Our horizon is not the black wall of death that leads to nothingness or emptiness, meaninglessness, hopelessness, despair, and ultimately eternal death. Jesus obliterated all of that. He shed his light into the darkness, and he comes forth through death itself, the victor. He comes forth, and in him, humanity begins again. The Father's plan in the person of Jesus is engaged. An entirely new race of people now comes forth and is born again, Jesus said, by water and the Spirit in baptism. For us, we know, as Catholics, baptism is not just a symbol or a sign, but what it does, it really confers what it signifies. It signifies new life, new birth, the life of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign, but it's also a reality. It produces. And when we're born again by the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that was upon the Lord Jesus, he gives to us. That's what he poured out on the day of Pentecost. That's how the church was born. And the church exists in the world to extend the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, to bring people into the presence of Christ. And the gospel helps people see who they are in relationship to God and their need for God and the need for repentance and to cry out to God, and we, with the same mercy and grace with which the apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the church now extends that same gift to the whole world to bring them to life. So you can see Catholicism and Christianity is so much more than just the transfer of information or the transfer of customs from one generation to the next. It's not just holding together a set of great ideas and wise teachings that can guide us. It certainly has wise teachings at the heart. But it's much more than that. It's the transfer of life. It's the transfer of power. It's a transfer and a beginning of an entirely new relationship with God. It's an entirely new relationship with God because it's the relationship that Jesus has with his Father. And Jesus offers us that capacity, that same sonship that belongs to him. And we share in it not just as an idea, but we receive it because in baptism, we're born again into Christ. And the Spirit that's in him, you know, remember, we're talking here about the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. And what unites the Father and the Son, the love that's at the heart of everything, the power that creates everything, that same Holy Spirit, perfectly united to Jesus Christ in his flesh, now pours out that Spirit by the authority that is in him, the authority that belongs to him as the one who conquered the world of flesh and the devil, the faithful Son who sits at the right hand of the Father and shares in the eternal glory, power, and authority of the Father. The Father entrusts to him the Holy Spirit to be poured out on human flesh so that we can come alive in Christ, an entirely new way of being and a new way of existing. Existing by the power that's in him. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. We're not just collectors of information. We don't just hold information. We become literally temples of God. This is the promise of Christianity. God saves us. He comes to live in us. He comes to make us his children. And so the apostles tell us we've beheld his glory, the glory of the only Son of God. And that Son who's full of glory gave us power to become children of God. He gave us power. He didn't just give us ideas. He didn't just give us laws. He didn't just give us wise principles that we can reflect on for the rest of our life. He came to make his home in us. The power of the Christian life isn't just that we have a book we can read called the Bible, or I have a catechism that I can carry that can keep reminding me who I am. We need all those things, absolutely. But what they tell us is a reality that we often forget. God is not external to us in the sense that he stands outside us and instructs us. The God of the universe who made everything in a miracle of his grace and mercy, and the mystery of his wisdom revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, is that he comes to dwell in us, to make his home in us. That's how we come alive. That's how we're born again. That's the gift. That's the grace, the promise of the Father that comes to us. He wants us to become children of God as disciples. And so the apostles tell us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yes, there's powers and forces that come against us every day, and discouragement can plague us. We can feel powerless, but what the apostles remind us is that there's a power within each and every one of us who are baptized into Christ that is stronger than death itself. That's something I'd like to talk about the rest of this week. I hope you can join me. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.